Welcome to Wisdom's Echo, Origin Gate's daily podcast. If you love Wisdom's Echo and want to invest in the lives of our speakers, head to patreon.com/wisdomsecho, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help us deliver the same impactful content you enjoy.
I'm Samantha Mahoney, and it is my honor and my delight to bring you this podcast today with one of my earthly treasures, my firstborn son, Regan Mahoney.
Hello, everyone. I'm Regan. In case you didn't catch that, it's a pleasure to be here today.
So Regan is visiting us in Ireland from Mobile, Alabama. And how on earth did he get to stay over there? Well, we're going to get to that really shortly. In my last podcast, I spoke about a prayer from a mother's heart and how I demonstrated how I pray for my children and how I spoke about how these are the things that I am most proud of in my life, the raising of these children. So I wanted you to hear from my son, from his own mouth, two different perspectives. But there were two big events, I would say, that happened in Regan's life that I wanted to share about today. And the first one, in my last podcast, I spoke about how my youngest son labeled me as a helicopter mom. And I had to figure out, what does that mean? What does it look like? And it's simply that the mother hovers over everything that goes on in the child's life. And as I said, I make no apologies for that because I take my mandate to raise my children in the way they should go very seriously. But one of the things that struck me about that is that when my children are grown, when they have left home, when they have become their own men, when they start to raise their own families, it's really important that I take a back seat in what that looks like. And preparing for my children to leave home was a massive mindset change for me. I explained to them that I'd been dreading that day from the time that they were born, and so they had to just let me deal with it in whatever way was most comfortable for me to get me through the process. And the thing that helped me deal was the song by Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live Without You? So I would sing that around the house, I would hold their hands, look into their eyes, sing that song, and actually if I hear that song today, I will send them a recording of it just to let them know I'm still dealing. But I didn't want, when my children left home, became their own men, to be a helicopter mom. So one of the things that I did was I dealt with ungodly soul ties between the two of us. Regan, do you want to just talk about what that looked like?
Well, we got together and my mom kind of explained what it was and, you know, why it would be a good idea to do that. At the time, I was 16, you said. So I was like, hell yeah, let's cut this thing loose. I don't need this anymore. No. But actually, it was, you know, we kind of sat down and we, you know, it's good to have these connections to your parents. But when you kind of let go like that, it, to just give them the freedom and to kind of say, I know you're your own person and this, and I don't want to be a huge influence on everything that you do. And it was kind of a bittersweet in a way, because you're cutting this tie with your mom and you're not sure what that's going to look like, you know, as you go forward. But, you know, we got together and we sat there and, you know, she kind of explained all. And then we cut that tie, and that was, you know, didn't look like much in that moment. But the fruit of that was that I have an awesome relationship with my mom. It's without negative impact. Yeah, I have this relationship that's been established. Like, my mom is my friend, and I can talk to her about things like that. You know, it's kind of hard to, when you're living in their household, to just talk about things that maybe are sensitive to you or whatever. But, you know, when I've left and when we cut that soul tie, it was like I could form a new relationship, and it was based on respect. And, you know, she would hear me out, and I would hear her out. And really, it was one of the best things we could have ever done, because it put us in a much better place. You know, not that we were in a bad place, but it just helped me grow, and it helped my mom let go, and it, in a way that kind of actually just brought us even closer.
And like, I know that probably a lot of you are asking, well, what did that look like? How did you go and cut that soul tie? So what I did when I did it with both of my children, but when Regan was 16, I said, you know, I love you dearly more than life itself, but I don't ever want you to be attached to apron strings and, you know, to manipulate or control you in any way. And I said, okay, so let's just bring these soul ties between us to God. And let's just ask that he would cut off anything ungodly between the two of us that's connected to witchcraft, control, or manipulation. And just by faith, we said, Father, we honor the relationship between mother and son, but we don't want anything that is ungodly. So we take the sword of the Spirit and we sever every ungodly soul tie between us. Anything that forms a demonic highway between the two of us that allows that control or manipulation to take place. It was a very simple thing. It was done by faith, but I think that was a massive thing for me in preparing to let my children leave the nest, so to speak, and to become their own men. The next thing that was quite important in both of my children's lives was eating their scroll. And I know that you've heard me talk about the scroll a number of times on previous podcasts. I don't think I have to go back into what that is. But just to give a little bit of a backstop, because we'll come to it in a few minutes, but my husband and I, about 7 years ago, we went to Mobile, Alabama, and we were told, you have to meet these pastors, Aaron Smith and his wife, Robbie Smith. They run a church there, and the stuff they're doing is freaking awesome. And so we go out there, and Aaron says, oh, by the way, guys, we do run a school on the property. Let me take you upstairs and introduce you to the kids. So we go upstairs and open the classroom door, and there's about 10 kids sitting in the room. They all stand up, and, you know, the one little guy in the front is going crazy, and he's bopping up and down, and he looks at Grant, and Aaron says, the reason why you are here is because this kid prayed you in. He heard one of your teaching on, I think it was Justin Abraham's site, and he's been praying, Father, I want to meet Grant. Please bring him to Alabama. So Aaron says, the reason that you are actually standing here is because of his prayers. And, you know, that was just such an awesome thing to see. But I scanned the room as I'm standing in this classroom, and there's a young girl to my right.
I'm crying.
She's got the most beautiful long brown hair and these big eyes, and she's bouncing up and down. And I look at her, and for some reason, I am really drawn to her. And I don't know what it is. I can't explain it, but I'm really drawn to her. We don't speak at that time, but Grant and I were doing a meeting in the church. Grant and I were only there for one night, and so we tag teamed. And at the end of the meeting, like normally happens, there's a bunch of people waiting to talk to you or to ask you to pray or just to share whatever's on their hearts. And I look at the end of the line, and here's this young girl from the classroom standing at the end with one of her friends. And she was so patient. She waited about 15, 20 minutes for me to get through the people who were waiting to talk to me. And I didn't think that she was going to stick around, but I kept making eye contact. And eventually I go and she grabs my hands and she goes, Mrs. Sam, you're so funny. You make me laugh. And I said, oh, okay, you know, and she introduces herself and she says, no, that's all. I got nothing I want you to pray for. I just wanted to tell you that. And it's like time stood still. And I looked at this girl and I thought to myself, am I looking at my daughter-in-law right now? And then reality came back and I was like, that's pathetic. That's crazy. Which kid and how would this even happen? Which brings us to the next part of an integral part in Regan's story, which is about eating the scroll. Do you want to talk about what that looked like, Regan?
All my life, the military had always appealed to me. I think it is one of the most respectable jobs that there is. And I always wanted to be a part of that. And so, growing up, that's what I wanted to do. And as I was nearing the end of my time in college, I didn't really try very hard for a lot of the later classes because, you know, I was like, well, I don't need much to get in. So I'm just going to do what I need. And so, yeah, I was going into the military. I wanted to be an officer. That just for some reason really spoke to me as the role. I also wanted to then go into the SAS. And that was my life. That's all I cared about. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I fixated on. And so I finally got into all the enlisting and all that kind of stuff. And I was training for about a year with this group that they put together where you just get your fitness up, you know, you're running your push-ups. And it was slow. It was actually really slow. And so, you know, a year or so goes by. I'm working out with these people. And then my mom comes to me because she's not too keen on the idea of me going into the military, but she doesn't want to stop me if it's what Yahweh has for me. She has a little bit of an opinion on what she doesn't want me to be doing, and the army was that, but she was willing to let me go if that's what needed to be, you know, if that's what had to happen. I appreciate that. And so I was very set on it, and she says, but what if that's not it? And so I'm like, well, what else is there? And she says, you know, I don't know, but, you know, would you be willing to eat your scroll? And if there's something else out there, that you would walk into that and walk through that door. And so I said, sure. And so we sat down together, just praying. I'm just waiting to see my scroll in my hands when I finally do.
You just asked by faith, right? You just said, Lord, I don't know what your plan is for me, but I ask that by faith you release the scroll to me.
Yeah, exactly that. And, you know, you just kind of wait. And when I saw it, I told my mom that I saw it. And she just said to eat it. Eat a book. That's not a very common item, but, you know, maybe eat that. So you, with this, you know, just by faith, you bring it up. I did anyway. And ate it and didn't feel anything. Nothing changed. Nothing crazy was around. And, you know, so it's like, okay, well, I ate my scroll. I did it by faith. It means something in
the spirit, yeah.
Yeah. And so went about my day, went for officer selection. I learned a lot there. And that's where they kind of decided, yes, you're going into the military as an officer or not. So as it turned out, I was too young and too inexperienced for that. So they said, you know, come back in a year, try again. You know, I was gutted. I was pretty bummed out. But me and one of the captains, because he came to a lot of the training sessions, he was like, look, I'll get you in anywhere else if you want to go anywhere else. So I said, sure, put me down as a field engineer, which was my second choice. And that's apparently very difficult to get into because they have a lot of applicants for it. But because I knew the captain, because he saw a lot of the hard work I was putting in, he said, I'll get you in. So he put me in. I went home disappointed, not even sure if that's what I even wanted to do anymore. And then stuff just opened up to go to Alabama. And so I was like, well, I'll go there and meet everybody. And so I went to Alabama and I met Apostle Aaron. Him and I clicked really well. I really respect him. The first time I went to their church, I'm up front with him. We're singing and I look to the left and I see this girl with brown hair and she's just at the front worshiping and I'm really captivated by her. And then I just hear, as clear as I've ever heard and whatever, I just hear, she's yours. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know about that. But I was happy. I was happy. I heard something clearer than I've ever heard. And so I went home with Aaron that night and I couldn't stop thinking about her. And I am not a bold man. So I said to Yahweh, you have to make this happen because otherwise nothing will. Because I'm terrible with talking to women and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he did. Everything was so easy.
Wait, I want to tell more about that one.
Okay.
So we're on a cruise. And I get this text from Regan going, Mom, there's a girl here that I really like. What do I do? He's not had a girlfriend before, so he's, as he said, very green in that area. And I said, well, first of all, you go and either ask Apostle or her dad if it would be okay to text each other. And that was a story, but he was given permission. And so he says, okay, Mom, I've got the permission. What do I do now? I said, now you send her a text. So he writes back to me and said, okay, Mom, I sent the text. What now? And I said, okay, now if she responds, you're in. If she doesn't, don't touch it. It's not going to work. So then he texts me back almost immediately. Okay, she's responded. I said, okay, babe, you're in. You're in. Go for it. Yeah. So then I ask Regan, send me a photo of what this girl looks like. And he sends it right back. And it is the one that I saw in a classroom where I had the moment where I wondered, is this my daughter-in-law? And then these doors start opening.
But yeah.
So talk about that. So when you eat your scroll and you give God permission to align you with what's on that scroll, unexpected doors present themselves to you and everything begins to fall into place. So talk about all the things that did fall into place.
Yeah, well, when I got back to New Zealand, I was like, I'm never going to see this girl again. How is this even going to be possible? Things just started happening. It was crazy. I applied to university there because that was the only way I could really get over there. I got accepted within a month. I didn't have a passport that was valid. That got taken care of extremely quickly.
You didn't have somewhere to stay, but...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. These people who lived on the property were like, well, if you're coming over, you can stay with us. We have a spare room, spare bathroom. That was Donald and Brenda Krieger, really great people. So appreciate them. Another thing, you know, 2 days before I'm leaving, you know, I realize, oh, I don't have a driver's license. Probably going to need a driver's license because I'm on a restricted. So I go and take my full license test, which is considered difficult in New Zealand. So
to get an appointment.
Yeah, but also just whether you pass or fail. And so I passed, and with the next day or two, or almost before we left, the pass or the driver's license came in, which I hear a lot from my mom and dad is impossible. With how quick it came in, I was able to get a car thanks to Ashley Wu. She just heard about me going over there and just went out of her way, found a car, bought that car for me, drove it all the way to Mobile, and everything just kind of fell into place. And it's like I didn't have to do anything. I just had to put in the minimum amount of effort. Things just lined up like crazy. It was so easy, and I felt, why would it be so easy if that's not what Yahweh had for me? You know, the military was my passion, but it was taking so long and it was so difficult to just get anywhere with it. And this, after eating my scroll, after seeing that, you know, I wasn't getting accepted as an officer and having to wait some more, then this just opening up and just being so easy and just felt so right. I went over and it was so easy. School was awesome, and I met with that girl again, Libby. We are married now, have been for almost 3 years. And it's crazy how it works out.
It does. Just, you got to give him your yes, and he opens every door that you're supposed to walk through.
Yeah.
And he provides everything you need along the way. And it was daunting for you because you'd never been that way before. He left home when he was 19, went to a foreign land, living with people with funny accents. And, you know, just life, God just works it out for him, and he's living his scroll right now. So, Regan, just before we end, is there anything that you want to share about some of the lessons or takeaways in your short life so far?
The biggest one is just that you need to trust Yahweh, that he has everything in mind. And sometimes, you know, when you're waiting and you're not sure what's going on and you're asking Yahweh, you got me here, but now what? Nothing is happening. A good anecdote or whatever is that when you're talking to Yahweh and there's no answer, it's just that, or it's just, think about a test. When you take a test, the teachers are silent, right? For me, that was kind of a thing. I was like, okay, I'm being tested in that. I just got to wait on him and just be faithful to the doors that he's opened and that he will open, that I just need to be patient and trust the process was a big one that my wife always said. There's a process and you just have to trust it. Just because you're not hearing anything or seeing anything doesn't mean nothing's not happening. It just might not be the right time.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, my love, for doing this podcast with me today. I hope that you've enjoyed my son as much as I do. Bless you all.